The Queen's Jewish Link presents the Jewish Living Podcast, the show that examines the many facets of Orthodox Jewish life. Here's your host, Izzo Zwirin.
Well, Pesach is almost here. Time to clean every inch of your house, pay $6,000 for crackers, and eat nothing but Lebanon and chocolate lollies for 8 days. There are many traditions we have around Pesach, but one of my favorites is buying a new Haggadah. For a good 10 straight years of my life, I would buy a new Haggadah before Pesach, lest I repeat a Dvar Torah I said last year. With that said, I'm excited to welcome our guest this week, who made a name for himself with the release of his first Haggadah, and is now back with another.
My name is Moshe Rosenberg. I serve as the Rav of a wonderful shul in Kew Gardens Hills called Eitz Chaim. I also teach at a wonderful yeshiva called SAR in the Riverdale section of the Bronx. And I love writing. And I think I'm here in that capacity as a writer who tries to combine different disciplines to help spread Torah and deepen people's understanding of it.
Rabbi Rosenberg released the unofficial Hogwarts Haggadah back in 2017. And will be telling us about his new Haggadah that was just released this past week. So Rabbi Rosenberg, thank you so much for joining us. I will preempt this by saying that Rabbi Rosenberg is the Mor d'Asra of the shul that I grew up in. You mentioned in the beginning, Congregation Eitz Chaim of Kew Gardens Hills. I go very far back to my pre-bar mitzvah days with Rabbi Rosenberg. So I truly am honored to have him on the show. And look forward to this discussion because we are talking about Rabbi Rosenberg's new Haggadah. This is Rabbi Rosenberg's second Haggadah, the superhero Haggadah. So before we get to that, I just want to get a little bit of a background on your writing style and the path you took to get here. This is your fourth published book. I don't know how many books you've had that aren't published, but I know this is the fourth one that I could find on Amazon. So if you can give us a little bit of a background on the other three books that you had, and then a little bit of an introduction to this one.
Well, first I'd like to say that it's really such a joy to be on a program that you, Izzo, are doing now so successfully for so long. It gives me a sense of pride that someone who grew up in my shul is reaching out in such novel and effective ways to the community. You would also mention that you have for quite a few years been our Baal Musa on the Yomim Noraim, and you've also been a coordinator of a beautiful singing group, an a cappella group called Yedid Nefesh, which came for a good number of years every Shabbos Shira and made the Shabbos live up to its name through beautiful, beautiful music. And I hope that after this pandemic is just in our rear view mirror, we'll be able to continue that type of tradition, and we'll have to have you guys in for a reunion, which is the style these days also.
Absolutely. Well, some of us have been strewn around the country, but we'll try to make it work.
Than the stars of West Wing, I think. They could get back together, so could you.
Absolutely.
We'll go through one of your older episodes. You'll redo it together and with a little creakiness, but everybody will be very proud. So just about the road taken, I've always been interested in writing, and I've written various articles. There was a time that I wrote articles on behalf of the RCA, the Rabbinical Council of America. And so those articles appeared in various places. And I also once wrote an article when the Harry Potter series was ending, around the time of the seventh book. We were waiting for it to come out. And I wrote something that was published in the Jewish Week on the topic of, if Harry Potter were a midrash, how would it end? And it so happened that the owner and operator of Kitav Publishing saw that article, and he said to me, how would you like to turn that article into a book about Harry Potter? I had never seen myself in that light, but that was a challenge. And so it took a while, with false starts and so forth. But eventually that became the first book, which is called Morality for Muggles. Ethics and morality in the Bible and the world of Harry Potter, something along those lines. Okay, and thank God it was nice, but because it doesn't have pictures or a special hook, and there was a limit to how much this particular publishing house could publicize it, it had a limited circulation, and it could have just been the beginning and the end. But then I've been doing a lot of things with Harry Potter, with my students, Harry Potter nights and Harry Potter writing clubs and references in class to Harry Potter. And eventually the idea just struck, why not do a Harry Potter Haggadah as well? And it happens that I have my own built-in editorial and publicity staff in my family. My son is a writer by profession. My oldest daughter is the best copywriter and publicist that I know. Not that I know that many, but she's amazing.
And I will and add, she also has her very successful podcast as well.
Yes, she's also a podcaster, yes. And all of my kids were into Harry Potter. So it was like a family project. And that's one of the nicest things about all of these books. All of my family got into it. And it felt like this was something we could do together. And then I was fortunate to find an unbelievably talented graphic artist to lay it all out. Her name is Aviva Shur, and she lives in Los Angeles. I came upon her serendipitously because I was visiting my brother in Los Angeles, and I saw a nice piece of literature in a shul, and I saw the name of the person who put it together, and it was somebody I recognized from YU, Rob Shur. So I contacted him, would you like to do something with me? And he said, that's more up my wife's alley. And so now the Haggadah we're doing now, the superhero Haggadah, is the third volume we've done together. There was the Harry Potter, not the Harry Potter, but the unofficial Hogwarts Haggadah. And then there was the unofficial Muggle Megillah. And now the superhero Haggadah, a story of signs and marvels.
Okay, so this is obviously, as you mentioned, this is your first foray outside of the Harry Potter world. Now for me as a kid, of course, most people my age loved Harry Potter growing up. Harry was about the same age as me as the books were coming out. So it was a really easy thing to link up to. But I always thought of Harry Potter as could have easily been a story about a kid whose parents died tragically and was raised by his non-Jewish family and finds out when he turns 13 that he was actually Jewish, and he was invited to go learn in a yeshiva, and he had to go wear this new weird clothing, and he had to get these books that he's never heard of before and enter a part of town that you never really even noticed existed before to go buy those books. It was a very easy parallel.
Sounds to me like you've got a good book there.
Yes.
You want to write that book.
Yes, I've been thinking about that forever, and my wife has also been thinking about that forever separately, and then we also got married after that, and then we still didn't do anything about it. Hillel Potterfeld, whatever, never mind. But superheroes seems like not as easy of a comparison. When you think of Harry Potter, it's, you know, it's a story of the oppressed being able to break free from the tyrant and triumph, the underdog over the oppressor. It's a very easy thing to compare to Pesach. How do we do that with superheroes?
That is an excellent question. And if you had asked me when I published the Harry Potter one, if I would ever do the same thing with superheroes, I would have laughed in your face, because it was not a genre that I was interested in. I wasn't interested in watching the movies. But then two things happened. First of all, I promised a prize in a school auction that whoever bought this prize and gave some money to the school, I would write a Harry Potter story which had their kid in it in Hogwarts. And the family that won, I decided I would want the kid to like the story also. That would be nice. And so I asked the kid, what are you interested in? And he said, superheroes. So I went to my kids and I said, like, I think maybe I'll do this with Iron Man. Which movies do I have to watch in order to be able to put Iron Man in Hogwarts? And in the end, they told me which ones. I watched those, and the story ended up having Iron Man in Hogwarts and this kid. And of course, it took the one wizard who was supposed to be Jewish, according to J.K. Rowling, and it put him in the story. And there's some Jewish stuff in it. I think it was a pretty good story. And in fact, my daughter actually made an audio recording of it. We hope to put both of them up on our Haggadah site, and people will be able to see if they like them. That was number one. So that was, I dabbled in Iron Man. And then I got cancer. Mm-hmm. I've been getting treated in various ways for prostate cancer for the last 18 months. And it's an emotionally wrenching type of thing. And my kids wanted to help me feel better. And their idea of helping me feel better is coming up with a list of Marvel superhero movies that they would watch with me. I didn't really have the energy to object at the time. And the main thing was that they wanted me to feel better. And as I watched these movies with them, I discovered that, you know, maybe there's more to this genre than I thought. Because suddenly I started to see that it isn't, just as Harry Potter wasn't really about the magic, The superhero movies were not really about the superpowers. Superpowers were nice, the special effects are great, but what was really at the core is that these are really ordinary people with the same problems of identity. Well, who am I really? Am I Bruce Banner or am I the Hulk? You know, what do I do with the props of my life? Do I hide behind them? Do I hide behind the hammer and the suit? And the Spider-Man costume, but what am I beyond the costume? Do I really need that for my identity? And other such questions of, you know, how do you stay together? How do you unite? You know, Avengers Assemble, a large part of the entire saga of the Infinity Saga, which is the 23 movies that my Haggadah is really about, the ones with the Infinity Stones at the center, is about the individual Avengers fighting their own demons and getting themselves together. And once they themselves are whole, then they have to stop fighting among themselves. And only once they unite are they actually able to do the mission that they have to do to save the universe. So these types of themes, turns out that they can be pretty Jewish.
So first of all, we wish you a complete refuah shlema. I know that complete and shlema would be redundant, but that's how I said it.
Mayim achronim v'aser.
Mayim achronim v'aser, that's right. The question that I have, I think that you answered, we're doing specific superheroes. We're not doing just the concept of a superhero, but we are paralleling the story to, it sounds like the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes. No,
we're not doing anything with DC or any other.
I am not doing DC. We're taking great pains to make that clear. It's in the introduction. It's in the publicity. We're doing the 23 movies of the MCU. Specifically the Infinity Saga. It starts with Iron Man 1 and it goes through Spider-Man Far From Home.
Okay.
There's a lot more that can be done, and I hope that you and others will write future Haggadahs, maybe Kinos, I don't know, about all of the others.
Well, we'll get to where my obsession is a little bit later on in this conversation. But the way that you described how you're doing this, it doesn't necessarily seem like it's exclusive to a Pesach story. Why did we choose, or why did you choose to do this as a Haggadah and not as anything else? Because the way that you described it, that could be applied to a lot of different areas of life.
It can, but part of the entire project is to make Torah popular and palatable, and the way I discovered almost accidentally that that works best is when you can connect it to something that everybody wants during a particular season of the year. Everybody wants a new Haggadah. And you could fit anything almost, except included in anything are many, many of the themes that relate to the Exodus from Egypt, to Yetzias Mitzrayim, to the Haggadah, and so forth. I mean, in many ways that you would never even think at first glance. I mean, you wouldn't stop to think that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, I am kiven shivim shana, I'm like 70 years old, and can connect to the 70 years that Captain America lay under the ice of the Arctic, and the 70 years that Rip Van Winkle was asleep, and the 70 years that Choni HaMa'agel was asleep, and all of them, and that ties into perhaps your Choni HaMa'agel ties into the song that you would sing that I loved so much when you came to our shul, Ilan, Ilan, Bama Avarechecha, the tree that he saw planted and later he saw in fruition.
Yes, and if A.B. Rottenberg is listening, we'd love to have you on as well. So you lead me into my next topic, which is pop culture as a vehicle for Torah learning in general. You mentioned that it's a nice way to get people who might otherwise not be interested. I know you also mentioned that everybody's looking for Haggadah every year. One of my favorite memories of you is touring the YU Sfarim sale around this time of year. I remember this back probably before when it was in its old location and upstairs in a smaller room than it is now. And you're carrying around a stack of Haggadahs and trying to figure out which one you were going to have to put back for this year. but pop culture as a vehicle for Torah learning, and specifically during Pesach time at the Seder. So the two questions that people will have is, A, is it just a gimmick? And B, is it appropriate?
Well, obviously my answer to both is not a gimmick and yes, appropriate, or else I wouldn't have done it.
Right.
And the answers are very similar to what they are concerning Harry Potter. And that is, we want people to stay awake and we want people to learn. And if we can do that using tools that are available to us, if these people are reading books or watching movies that have the lessons that we want them to focus on, whether it has to do with time travel or magic or identity or conflict, whatever it has to do with relationships, if they're already seeing it, one rabbinic mentor of mine said, we can't necessarily tell our kids, our students, what to read, but we can teach them what to look for in what they read. We can teach them what to see in the movies. And so they have already done the spade work. They've watched this. They've absorbed these relationships. And if I say, well, the same thing that happened over here is really going on over here, but perhaps it's treated a little bit differently. What happened to Choni HaMa'agel when he woke up? What happened to Captain America when he woke up? How did they reintegrate? Did they reintegrate into society properly? And the answer is very different for the two of those. If you have the six stones of infinity, well, is that just happenstance? There are six infinity stones and 12 stones in the Kohen Gadol's breastplate. What does that say? How do you function? How do they function? How do you get a hold of them? You know, are they expensive? What do you pay for a stone like that? How do you deserve a stone like that? So they know half the story at least. So all you have to do is connect the dots, and the lessons that you want are so easy to impart.
So again, perfect segue into my next topic, which is nerd culture in general. Now, there's a lot of different definitions of what nerd culture. The way I'm defining it for the purposes of this conversation is the in-depth analysis of some of these universe buildings. So we're talking about the MCU, which has a universe that they built. Harry Potter is a universe that J.K. Rowling has built. You can do it for a number of different. My personal favorite is the Pixar universe. When you're discussing that, so if I ever decide to follow in your footsteps, maybe I'll do a Pixar Haggadah. So in terms of the nerd culture, there are so many avenues that exist, whether it be books or TV shows or podcasts or YouTube channels that are solely devoted to the analysis of what would happen in these made-up universes. What were the backstories that aren't there? And a lot of people have this notion of headcanon, like, oh, this is how I decided that this person came to be, that this event came to happen, even though it's not written anywhere or produced anywhere. And everybody have their own theories about how things came to be. And it gets me to think, and honestly, the first person that I saw that brought this type of culture to Judaism was Rav Mati Berger, who did it with the Matrix. And he was known forever as the Matrix Rabbi. And you are known, at least when I describe who you are to people, of Rabbi Moshe Rosenberg. Oh yeah, he's a Harry Potter rabbi. Well, now you can be also the superhero rabbi. But
well, I think that the Harry Potter rabbi is entitled to a better menu, at least, than the Matrix rabbi. I don't have to eat some sort of sludge. I get to eat what they served at feasts in Harry Potter.
That's true. And you don't have to take a pill in order to do it. Exactly. The question that I have is that there's so many things and there's so much time spent dissecting these universes. It's almost about the same amount of time that a yeshiva student would sit in it with his chavrusa and dissecting Tanakh and dissecting the Gemara. Is it a problem that we're spending this much time devoted to these types of things with the same fervor that maybe we should be spending, devoted to Talmud Torah?
To quote the Lone Ranger's sidekick, Tonto, what you mean we, white man?
We, meaning we in general as Klal Yisrael. Like if we are devoting time to these types of things.
I have to draw my own lines, and I think everybody does. And everybody has to justify the time that they take from the limited time they have on earth, and how are they spending it? So for me, I am not well versed in the comic universe of Marvel or any other comic universe. So basically my comic familiarity runs out when you pass a few Archie comics and some Richie Rich. I was never a comic book fiend. What I needed for this Haggadah was a certain amount of fluency that what I would say would make sense. But I know where I can look things up. You can Google anything. I just recently was Googling the history of Captain America's shield because I deal with some of the symbolism of the shield and breaking the shield and yachatz of the matzah and so forth. So yes, I know where to look, but at a certain point, I say enough. Dayenu, you might say, Dayenu, that I will not go further. I don't have an interest in going further. I've done what I see as my job, what my contribution can be. I'm acceptable to those who want to learn Torah and those who want to connect it to this particular area of literature. I think it's wonderful that Jews contributed so much. I love the cameos. I'm using this in a more instrumental sort of way. I certainly enjoy it, but it's not something where even Harry Potter, I am not as interested in, all of the details and the fan fiction and the merchandise and the exhibits and the stores and the, amusement park rides and so forth, that doesn't do it for me. I carve out the corner of each universe that appeals to me, and that's where my contribution is. And hopefully that also conserves some of my time for other projects in life as well.
So if I were to ask you, you mentioned the Jewish character in Harry Potter, Anthony Goldstein, if I were to ask you if he's Chayav Misa, your answer would be?
My answer would be that it's very difficult to execute a fictitious character. And that in general, the magic in Harry Potter is the way of dressing up an English boys' boarding school and talking about relationships. Everything else is a way of exploring that in a fun way.
Okay, so we're almost running out of time. Rabbi Rosenberg, where can people purchase the superhero Haggadah? And if they want to purchase any of your previous work?
So you can certainly get all of these on Amazon. I mentioned the names before, the unofficial Hogwarts Haggadah, Morality for Muggles, the unofficial Muggle Megillah. You can go to my newsletter. You can go to rabbirosenberg.substack.com and see what I've written about this and about other things. And in the recent newsletter, I gave a link where you can sign up on a Google form that will notify you when the superhero Haggadah hits Amazon. And that way you'll be the first and you'll be able to, God willing, get it before in plenty of time for Pesach. One of the things that I'm most thrilled about is that I have a student. I taught him in fifth grade. Now he's a seventh grader. And he excels in drawing superheroes.
Yeah.
And so in addition to Aviva's beautiful layout and artwork, we will be having the artwork of a student.
Very nice.
Along with questions and answers for students that I've had before as well.
Is there anywhere else we can find you, social media? If there's a YU Torah link that you might want to drop?
Well, the Harry Potter Haggadah has a Facebook page, so you can find it there. What is the Facebook page? I think it's HP Haggadah, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
You can also find me at that newsletter, Rabbi Rosenberg.substack.com. And I think those are the best ways of reaching me.
Okay. And of course, we will link to all of these in the show notes and on our social media pages for anybody who is not currently near a computer to remember those websites and Facebook pages. Is there anything else, Rabbi Rosenberg, you'd like to share with us?
I would just like to say that being interviewed by somebody who grew up in Eitz Chaim has long been a dream of mine, and now I can check that one off. And that I think that writing, certainly in my case and perhaps many other people, is wonderful therapy during this time. I know it's helped me in my illness. I've been trying now to venture out of my comfort zone and write what it's like for a rabbi to have cancer during the period of COVID. And in other words, write the book that I needed when I first got sick but couldn't find. And so if that progresses, perhaps you'll have me on again.
Absolutely. We look forward to it. Rabbi Rosenberg, thank you so much for joining us this week. And we look forward to reading whatever comes out next year, too.
Thank you very much.
My thanks to Rabbi Rosenberg for joining us this week. Although he said the Haggadah was not yet out, this interview was recorded several weeks ago, and the Haggadah is now available on Amazon, where it currently ranks number 2 in Judaism-related books. If you're looking for a fun new way to look at the story of Pesach, go out and help Rabbi Rosenberg hit number 1. As always, thank you for listening, and kol tov.
The Jewish Living Podcast is produced by Sreli Pikus. Our theme song is The Band by A.B. Rottenberg. Follow us on Facebook at The Jewish Living Podcast and on Twitter and Instagram at Jewish_living. You can also email the show at jewishlivingpodcast@gmail.com. The Jewish Living Podcast is recorded in conjunction with the Queens Jewish Link.